Good morning, everyone. God is good. God is good. Amen. My testimony is just one to tell you that God is good to me and to you. For the past 4 years, my daughter is doing rhythmic gymnastics from SKW Club. And then this year, also last year she was gone, but again this year she was selected to represent Namibia in South Africa next week. And then they gave us everything beforehand, how much it will be and what we need. And almost for the past 2 months, me and my husband is waiting for some tax money which the government should pay him back. But nothing was happening, and now I was just wondering, how now? And then the due date for the money to be in was last week Friday, which was the 17th of September. And then I was just wondering, what should I do now? It's now already almost time. And I started to panic. I'm just thinking of, because it's now 5,200 Namibian dollars which we need to pay in. But now from that 5,200, I already gave a deposit of 500. So it was 4,700 which was left. And then there are also things like leotard and those stuff which we need to buy. And Sunday, I just spoke to someone here at church, and he said, okay, he will try to, he will see whether his company can do something. And then I was waiting. And then in the meantime, I'm just trying to SMS some friends and some family members just to help us where they can. And well, no one is responding, but I have peace in myself. I just think my child will go. That's all. And then Wednesday, he told me now the company is not going to sponsor because the fees are already finished for the year. But from his side, he is going to give her $500. And that was now the beginning of the blessings. He actually opened the doors for us. And then I said, oh, thank you, God. Now with this 500, I can order the leotard, which is 470 already. And I said, okay, I will do that. And I already ordered the leotard for her. And then it's now like Thursday, and I still don't have anything. And I need 4,700 by Friday. And I'm just wondering, I'm sitting in the class, and I'm just wondering, but now, God, tell me, what should I do now? And the Holy Spirit is just telling me, just phone the people and ask them to give you chance maybe until next week Tuesday. And this is something impossible, people. Let me tell you, it's impossible. The date has been given already to you, and it was long before time, so you must be ready. And I said, okay, I will try to SMS because I even don't have credit to phone. And then I SMS the lady and I said, please, can you give me a chance until next week Tuesday? Because I'm still busy collecting money. That's what I said, because I don't want to lie also. And then within 2 minutes, she responded and she said, okay, it's okay. You can come back on Tuesday. And I said, thank God. But now, 4,700 by Tuesday. I'm wondering, now what? And I don't have really long prayers. I'm just asking God, Lord, where now? What now? How now? That's all. That's all that I'm saying. And it's so loud. If I'm working somewhere, I'm just saying, Lord, where now? You know, I'm still with this problem. Where and how? That's all. And then Friday, during break, I don't go to the office because this thing is disturbing me. I must do something. And I just sit in the class and I'm just wondering now, how, what should I do now? And I promise to the people that I will be back by Tuesday. What now? And then when I saw my phone, then I think like, let me just take the phone and look in my phone book and see whether I can get someone who can help me. No, no, I'm going through the names, through the names, through the names. And I came to that name, Irene. And Irene is now my niece. And I didn't communicate with her for a long time. But now she's working for New Era. And I thought, let me just SMS her and ask whether their company can give sponsors to the children for sports. And then I SMS'd her and then she phoned me back. What do you say now? Why do you ask? Well, my girl is going to South Africa and now I have this and this and this problem and I still need money for that trip. And I just wanted to know from you whether your company is sponsoring children for sports. And then she said, okay, I don't know, but my boss will be back. He is out now, but I don't know when he will be back. But as soon as he is back, I will come back to you. And then I am waiting, but I again forgot about her. And around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she phoned me back again, and she said, okay, he is not yet back, but I am going back home now, but I will come back on Sunday. I'm on duty on Sunday, so I will phone you back on Sunday. Then I said, okay, it's fine. And then I forgot about it, but I'm still fighting with this. How? Where? What? And Sunday, I couldn't even come to church because of some issues we had. And then I said, okay, I just stand up in the morning and I pray to God, and I again forgot about Irene. I'm now thinking about maybe phoning my brother and see what he can do. And now, Irene, like 11 o'clock, she phoned me back and she said, okay, I spoke to my boss and he said they don't sponsor. But I think, why don't we put her in the newspaper for Monday? And I said, wow, how come? And I'm against this, the enemy of the shame is now attacking me. I'm a bit, what will the people say? My child in the newspaper and looking for money. No, God, this is just impossible. I can't do this. And I said, okay, Irene, I don't know really, but really, do you think it's something good? She said, it's normal. We just try. Well, that it's a very short time. You still need money for Tuesday, but we can try. And I don't want to disappoint her, but I'm just feeling like, Irene, really, do you think we can do it? Yeah, we can try. Okay, I said, okay, maybe we can try. Now she said, but now my manager said, we must first have an interview with your, with Lakshani's coach, and then the person who is, the manager, the person who is organizing the trip. And then I said, okay, then I SMS her the numbers. And then they phoned her coach, and then they spoke to him, and then they also phoned the other lady in Swakopmund who is busy with everything, and then they also spoke to her. And then she said, okay, I got everything from the people, so I'm coming to take the photo. And like maybe half past one, she came to my house, and then she took the photos of Lakshani, and then she went back. And I'm just thinking, what, wow. And I SMS two friends, and I said, okay, I did something like this. Do you think it's normal? No, that's not the problem. It's not a problem, just go for it. I said, okay, it's already gone. And that Sunday night, I didn't sleep. But I was just praying for positive response and for everything. And then Monday morning, normally, usually we are not allowed to use our cell phones during school time. And then that Monday, I excused myself and I just decided I will leave my cell phone on and it will lie on my table so that I can see if the people phone. And then she was in the newspaper of Monday morning, and the first lady phoned me around 8 o'clock. And she asked me, are you Lakshani's mother? Yes, I'm Lakshani's mother. No, I saw you about Lakshani in the newspaper, and I just want to give you something. I said, that will be great. Then she said, now where can I see you? I said, right now I'm at school, and I will be back. I will be off only from 1 o'clock. Then she said, okay, I'm going to phone you 1 o'clock. so that we can talk. I said, okay, thank you, ma'am. And then that was not the first person in. Around 12:30 again, another lady phoned me. And she is now phoning from one insurance company. And she said they also read the newspaper and they want to give something, some donations. Can I come and see the manager like 3 o'clock? Then I said, it's okay, I will come. And then she explained to me where the place is and so on. And then the first lady, she really phoned me 1 o'clock and she said, can you meet me at 2:10 at the parliament? I said, okay, it's also one of the government officials. And then I went there and then I met the lady and I actually only needed 4,700. But now Irene put in the newspaper, the whole 5,200. So I told her, okay, what I actually need is only 4,700. And then she gave me a check, the cash check for 2,000. And she said, okay, did some people also phone you? Now I must be honest. I said, yes, I'm also going to see someone 3 o'clock. And then she said, okay, then it's fine. You can take this 2,000. And then if it is not yet enough, then you can still come back to me. And then she gave me the phone number, cell number. And then I said, okay, thank you very much. And 3 o'clock I went to the other lady, to the other man. And then I came in. And then I have just decided I will be honest with this thing. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to play with people's money. So I'm going to ask only what I need. And then I told him, okay, we already got 2,000. Someone sponsored us 2,000. And I already gave 5,000 as a deposit. And we actually, 500, yeah, sorry. And we only need now 2,700. And the man said, no, no, no. We want to give the whole 5,200. And I'm wondering, and I said, okay, if you feel like that, then it's okay. Then he said, the other 2,000, you must just go open a special account for her, just for sports, and then you can save for her money on that one. So we are going to give the whole 5,200. And then the deposit, they can keep it there, balance of 500, they can keep it there for next year. So she is also going to use that 500 for next year. And then he just took the account number of the Rednik Gymnastic Federation. And then he told me, there I realized that I said Tuesday, it was not Monday, when he said, okay, for today it's a bit late because the second person who is going to sign is not in. So he will be in only tomorrow morning. So we will deposit the money tomorrow morning, which is Tuesday. Now you must see, the Holy Spirit told me, give Tuesday. And they deposit the 5,200 Tuesday morning. And then they also fax to me the receipt and also to the people in Swakopmund. So God really blessed us. And Lakshmi is now going tomorrow morning. They will be leaving like 3 o'clock in the morning, early in the morning. And we just trust God that she will come back with something and with good news. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing, Blanche. It's really a wonderful testimony. I suppose I don't have to say a lot now. I've done almost all the saying and stuff. Turn to someone next to you and tell them it's really great to be in the house of the Lord. Okay, guys. Last weekend was my off weekend. I really enjoyed it. Me and my family went together with other family of ours to their farm, and we really had a wonderful time there. We enjoyed it so much. I actually thought of maybe not coming back and starting to farm, but I knew I had to come back, and I'm glad someone is saying no, and that's really a blessing. And thank you, Francia, for standing in for me and really blessing the congregation with your words. And I know it fell on good soil, and a lot of people enjoyed it, and it had an impact on a lot of people's lives. So it's great to be back. Let's pray. Father God, we want to worship you this morning for these wonderful testimonies, Father God, and also the testimonies to come, Lord, just of your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord God. And Father, the wonderful thing that we can put our trust in you, Father God. And Father, as sometimes things look so difficult, Lord, but if we know that you are in our boat, Lord God, and then we can relax, Father God. When we put our trust in you, Lord God, we know, Lord God, you will come through for us, Father God. And we just worship you for blessing someone in our church like that, Father God. And thank you for all the other wonderful testimonies, Lord God, of people really being set free, Lord God, and people being victorious, Father God, and you're answering prayers, Lord. I want to thank you for that, and thank you for bringing something positive into our church and into our hearts, Lord. And we just bring this word before you this morning, Father God, and we just say, Father God, in our own strength, Lord, we can't do kiddies church or worship, Lord God, or preach or anything, Father God. We will just want to glorify your name this morning, Lord God, and thank you that we can all be together here this morning, Lord. And also for our brothers and sisters not here this morning, we also pray that you'll bless and protect them and their families this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, I'm going to talk on three things. It can actually be three sermons, but I'm going to really try and keep it to one sermon. And that's about serving, about worship, and about storms. Now, I remember, I think it was in June, we preached on, you know, people really feeling that there's this storm in their life. Now, who of you have felt during this year that at a certain stage, not so fast, scholar, that there was a storm, or maybe currently you're experiencing some of those circumstances, whether it can be many things at work or at home or financially or maybe spiritually. There's many ways. Is there any one of you, I've experienced a few this year, any one of you guys that had tough times? Okay, most of you, a lot of you. So I want to start off by reading to you from Psalm. Okay, maybe I just want to say the title of my sermon this morning is "Don't Try to Worship God with Your Hands in Your Pockets." And as we go on, I trust that you'll explain better. This is going to be one of those sermons. I really trust God. I just prayed before the time with someone that what's on my heart and what I believe is on my paper here, that you guys will really receive it and run with it, and that God will really do something in our hearts this morning. And that's why I'm trusting the Holy Spirit really to give that revelation to us this morning. I want to start off by reading to you from Psalm 113, verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." And then in Psalm 134, verse 1 to 3. "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion." And then the last one from Psalm 135, verse 1 to 3. "Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. You stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant." And that's important. In my notes, I underlined in both of the three scriptures where it says servants. Now, guys, all of us are servants to God. We worship God. We honor God. He's our Father. We've got a relationship with Him. But there's also a place where we serve God. And I think you need to serve something to worship that. That's why the people who serve the Baals and many statues and things in life, they serve that thing and then they worship it. And I suppose you can do that the other way around as well. But I serve God and I love to worship God. Now, there's another testimony coming throughout the sermon where I'm just going to give someone an opportunity to quickly share something. And I just know God is moving in our church. I can sense it in intercession. Those of you who were there on Tuesday morning, you will know that there was definitely a breakthrough. There's definitely two people saw pictures of like shackles, you know, falling from our ankles. People are, and that's why the song we sang, "We Are Free," you know, that it makes a lot of sense to me spiritually. And you know, a while ago someone brought a word that she felt there's a burden on our church, and that's something spiritual. And we interceded for that and we prayed about it, and I trust God and I believe that thing has shifted. And that's something, that's why we give the opportunity for people to share this morning. And that's why it's so wonderful for Blanche. You know, we are glad with her. She's part of the family and we are happy for her. But we all praise God for what happened. And, you know, in the seeding, that's the place where something spiritually is happening. And when I listened on Tuesday morning to the people's prayers, you know, I was so excited just to see, because I know a lot of people have many challenges of their own. And I could just sense in my spirit, you know, it's like standing in front of the Red Sea and thinking like, how is this going to happen? How is this going to open? And then it just opened by the grace of God, by His goodness. And to see people moving into that place, that just gives me a lot of joy in my heart. Now, as I said, I want to talk a bit about serving this morning, about worshiping, and about, what was the third thing? Storms, thank you very much, that's what I'm talking about. And I hope that we're going to connect the lines, because I really felt during the week while I was praying for the sermon, and I trust in God for it, and I think there's something that we can connect the dots this morning, and I really want all of us to, because God is revealing something to me, and I'm excited about that. And I want all of you guys to really make it your own and maybe go home and still pray more about it, but to walk into that place. Okay, so I'm going to start off by talking about serving. Now, someone must derive joy from being served. You know, and I think most of you will think about maybe a mother or a grandmother or family member. And, you know, if a woman makes food at home and the young men or the old men or whoever comes and they have a whole plate of food and they eat it and they come for seconds and maybe thirds, you know, then that lady will have a lot of joy in their hearts, because women, I think, many times, especially mothers, they like it when they see the families enjoying what they make to eat. And I feel so bad, because I think back at times when I was young and I said, Mom, we're having this and that. You know, I'm not such a vegetable man sometimes. And I like my salad and my meat. And then, but I feel bad today for sometimes, you know, pulling up my nose and not liking stuff, because I think it was a rejection to my mom. I've got a family member, and always when we went to her farm, and off to their farm, and she made like this huge amounts of food. And my dad always said, he can't allow her to serve the food, because he can't possibly eat everything, because she puts only a little bit of food in her plate, but she expects you to have like 3 plates. And usually after the second or the third day, my dad said, no, we must fast, we can't eat so much, you know. But I know for a fact she had that servant heart, that servant attitude, and I want to bring it through to our relationship with God, where we really serve Him. Because if we worship God, then we must serve God. Okay? Now, I want to talk on, it's not just about song and dance. Usually, I had a thing in my head that when we talked about worshiping God or praising God, that it's, you know, more, I'm talking now when I was spiritually young, that it was about music and about singing and dancing. And I really, where's Warrior? I like the way you always dance and sing. I told the worship team this morning when we sing a specific song that I don't mind. I can turn around and hop and dance and do things and not go mad, but almost, you know, really enjoy it. Because I battled a bit with that when I was a young Christian. But the thing is, guys, worshiping God is nothing to do with our musical ability or the way we make music, but it's all to do with the condition of our hearts. I want to say it again. Worshiping God is not about your musical gift. And I mean, nothing, if you've got a wonderful musical gift, like many of you have, go for it. I mean, make music and dance and sing. But it's not just about that. It's about something in your heart. You know, like that, say like a oma. Oma is the typical word. Who of you doesn't know what an oma is? Panganai, do you know? It's a grandmom or a grandmother, you know? They like to make food, you know? And they like to serve their families. And as they have joy in doing that. And guys, I want to say to you this morning, in a part of a, I almost want to say in a specific box of the sermon, we must have joy when we serve the Lord. You know, that's in a sense already where the thing comes from. It doesn't help if we worship God standing with our hands in our pockets. You know, if you do that, then probably your heart is going to be at a different place. If we try to worship God, and I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm a very good one. I remember, and I've possibly shared it a few times before, I think I got saved in 2002, and then in that second year, 2003, you know, the guy that was discipling me, to me, he actually came to me and said to me, "Carl, but you can't stand like this worshipping the Lord." And I was standing there, and let's put it like I was giving lip service, because I was trying singing along and in a sense enjoying it, but my mind was elsewhere. I was thinking about other things, you know. And I want to say this morning, I think that worship like that is meaningless to God. If that grandmother is trying to just give her, just don't take this out of context now, but just a piece of bread with a bit of butter on it, then you'll also eat it. But if she makes a lot of effort in preparing it, and you can see her almost slaving there in the kitchen the whole morning, and then you can see the people are enjoying the meal, then she likes it so much more. And I want to say, if we just give small crumbs of bread to God as our worship, then it doesn't mean a lot. Our hearts should be in the right place. We should do it from a place of serving God. Now, as I said, it's not just about song and dance. That was just an example in my heart. Now I just want to go over to it's healthy to serve. Now, guys, you all know, and that's why it's so, well, everything flows so wonderfully together to me for this sermon. You know, Francois, that on Tuesday morning you also shared that you know, when we serve in church, that there's a blessing in it. And in a sense, now also don't get me wrong. Now, if you do too much, you're gonna steal someone else's blessing. Now, by saying that, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this is not a way of motivating you. Maybe it is. But guys, there's a place of serving. You know, the more you learn to serve, the more you're going to enjoy it, because you're going to feel better about it. It's like when you give something, Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You're going to receive the blessing. So the more you serve, the more blessing you're going to receive. And who can testify of that? Is that true? Most of you, a lot of you can say it. Now, I know that some people are more inclined to serve than others. One wonderful example to me is always the few times I've been close to a hospital or visited someone in a hospital is nurses. It's just amazing when they work shifts from 7 to 7 through the night, in that sense denying themselves, really to look after sick people. And a lot of things the nurses do, it's challenging. It's not just like sitting in front of your laptop and writing an email. That's also working and it's blessed. But you know, many times, a lot of the things that a nurse does is quite challenging. I've got a lot of respect for doctors and nurses and people like that. I personally can't handle a needle. I really hate it. But the thing is, you know, they serve. And that's that servant heart. Now, many people maybe are a little bit less inclined like that. And I want to ask you, and I want to challenge you, because I had to do it in my life, is if it's serving doesn't come so naturally to you, nah, to go to God and speak to Him about it, ask Him to change your heart, ask Him to be more of a servant. Was Jesus Christ a servant? Did He came to serve? Jesus Christ came from a place of love, you know, and He served. He didn't, you remember what Pastor Rolf talked on, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago about, he said Jesus didn't lead, He came to serve, healing the blind, healing the sick, doing many things, but He did it from a place of love. Now, as in worship, as I say, if you don't mean what you do, then it's senseless. Now, as in 1 Corinthians 13, if your motivation to serve isn't love, then you must maybe ask yourself a few questions. Because it's not very easy. You know, we had a situation a week or what ago where we could help someone financially, and I'm not talking about Blanche's situation now, but that was almost the easy part. The difficult part was really to help with the circumstances. You know, giving the money sometimes, so many people do it just to get something off their conscience. Maybe give the beggar $5 and you can feel better about yourself. But that's not going to help a lot. You know, when you serve from a place of love, it's so much different. You know, that's why I remember when me and my sister, when we were young and we fought and we had to be reconciled by my dad, then we always had to say sorry to each other. You know, and then you said, "Oh, sorry." Okay, then my dad said, no, say it like you mean it. Okay, you know what we mean. So many times, those of you who are married or in a relationship or something, you say sorry, or maybe you say I love you. But people, I can't remember the stats, you know, body language mean a lot more than the words we say. So people can descend from a mile if you mean what you say. So if you say sorry, depending in the way which you say it, people will know if it's from your heart or if you're just saying to say it. Amen. Okay. It's healthy to serve. Now, all of us, the thing is, if you don't serve, then our own issues, many times, it can be exaggerated to a place where it can actually lead us into deception. Okay? Because you can look at your own little problem, and it can later become so big to you that you actually lose perspective on how bad it is. Many times when you start to serve, when you pray for other people, when you have that outflow, that positive place, then you will see that this thing I'm worrying about, it's actually not that bad. Rather pray for that other person whose marriage are in a much more challenging place, or that other person who's really battling financially a lot more. No? So if you have that outflow, that thing in life, it's healthy, it's good for us. So I want to challenge you in that way also. And you know, we need to serve God, but we also serve each other. And it's so wonderful. I'm going to use the example. It was someone's birthday last week, and I'm a bit bad with birthdays, but I'm so glad for those people who do know. And three ladies in church, they were actually here, and you know, they took the phone and then they sang for that person on his birthday. Now, don't feel, they also, no one have sang to me, so I don't be offended now. But you know, I sat in my office listening to that, and as you know, me and Francho, we don't sing in the church from the front. And they sang, and I thought, let them do it. But I enjoyed it so much, because they blessed that person so much. It was actually two people, and they're sitting here, and they're smiling, and they know who they are. But it was so wonderful in just giving, in just serving, because you could just send the SMS and say, enjoy your birthday, be blessed. But in doing that, they're giving something, and I heard them laughing afterwards and giggling, and I just know, without maybe thinking about it, something happened in their hearts, because they gave something, they sow something, and there was a blessing in that. And we should do the same. As I said, Jesus came to serve, and when we imitate Christ, we need to do the same. And the more you serve, the more you're going to enjoy it. I can promise you that. It's like a good vicious cycle. Many times, when you come to Christ, you've never been at a place of really serving. And then when you make that shift, you actually start to enjoy it. It's like tithing, you know. I've shared it many times. When I came into church, I really battled with tithing, because it was tough for me to just kind of give my money away. But the more I started doing it, the more I enjoyed it, and I saw God's hand in it. And it was just something you need to experience it, and you're going to learn it. And when you grow in it, you'll just see the blessing in it. Now, perspective on life and in issues. As I said, you will always, if you stand, it was so wonderful to me when my dad brought this testimony. Sometimes we tend to be a bit negative toward government or government institutions. And my dad had to go to Home Affairs last year. And he's now 63 years old. And he was standing in a queue. And he's a very fit man for his age. And then a lady came to him, and we braced him. We said, Dad, this is going to be tough. Take a bottle of water. You're going to stand long in the queue. And he braced himself. And he went to stand in the queue, and then a lady came and asked him, sir, how old is you? And he said, this is my age. And then she took him by the hand, almost in front of the queue. And Maritza went to drop him, and she came to church then. And she was almost just here, and she had to go back and fetch him. Now, that's wonderful, because you know, how many times you'll stand in a queue and then you'll make space for someone maybe older or a little bit sick or something like that. I really honor that lady who did it that morning. That was just a wonderful example. But you see, she was sensitive to serve, because she, in her heart, in her eyes, she was looking maybe for a disabled or an older person who aren't supposed to stand for 2 or 3 hours in the sun, because it was the Home Affairs in the northern industrial area. She was focused on that. And many times we'll be a bit blind, and we'll just walk past something and not notice it. But if your heart is to serve, like a nurse, they always come and say, "Sir, how do you feel? Is this okay? Is that okay?" They are wired like that. It's praise God for making people like that. So I want to challenge all of you, me including, if you aren't focused like that, maybe ask God to just open your eyes a bit. And when you see, maybe you're standing in a queue or somewhere, then just ask God to open your heart. Did the Holy Spirit show you where you can really serve and not just stand in your right by saying, "I was here first, the other person must wait"? Because that became part of the culture, you know. Good. And then something I want to throw out to you, and this is something really important. Many times we feel there's a storm in our lives, circumstances are tough, and then something tells people, I don't know why, we must maybe take a step back from church or from serving and just work out a few situations or circumstances at home. Now that's not a good thing to do. I want to encourage you this morning. If you go through a tough time, rather do more. If you go through a tough time, for example, don't stop tithing. Don't stop tithing. You're going to steal a blessing from yourself. If you go through a tough time at work or things are maybe really challenging, I can tell you, rather serve more in church, because you're going to see you're going to be more blessed. You're not going to work out a difficult thing in your life by not attending church, not attending small groups, not worshiping, doing less Bible study, worshiping God less. There's a blessing in doing those things. And I really want to encourage you, because many times people tend to think the other way around. I remember this quote of someone, I can't remember who it is, but he said, "I've got so much to do today that if I don't spend a lot of time with God this morning, I'm never going to get through my day." Now, what do we do sometimes? I'm guilty as well. We think we've got a difficult day ahead, much things to do, and then you see, maybe later when I've got time, I'm going to spend time with God. Wrong. You're going to get it wrong. Start off by spending time with God, and then you see the chances of your day being better is good. Okay, connecting the dots. That's why I'm worshiping God with hands in your pockets don't work. That's why I said, if you want to worship God, and I'm not talking now by playing guitar or doing something. You can also do it by playing guitar. But as we said, worship is a condition of your heart. Something you want to do. You want to serve God. Okay? So if you do it like a type of a ritual, standing there in your inner room, maybe in church where you are, and you just kind of sing along with the words, but your head and your mind or your heart or spirit is somewhere else, that's not meaning a lot. Don't think of your to-do list while you are worshiping God. Now, there's something to this. There's something important to this. And I just felt last night in my heart, I'm going to ask someone to share something on really a few aspects of worshiping God and connecting with God. And this morning I just submitted to that person and I asked him if he will be available to share something. And he said, yes, he's got something on his heart. So it was wonderful confirmation of me just how God works through the body of Christ. So on this, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share on a few things. Just for those of you, I am the pastor, but I really believe that we are a team. That's why Francho also preaches at times. And you see, I don't do everything. And I just felt you should share something. And so on this, if you can come to the front, I really trust and know that God has laid something on your heart that you want to share with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good. You asked me this morning to speak a few words, and I immediately got a few tips and things from the Holy Spirit. And as he spoke again, I got a few tips. So I got a few pages here now. So I'll try to sort them to 6 points, probably. Good. I was in London. I just want to testify a bit. In 2001, and I went to this one church all the time. I think it was CRC Church, and they spoke about tithing. I thought they had a lot of financial difficulty, so I started giving my tithe with a lot of difficulty. It wasn't easy to start to give, but as I gave, nothing happened, and I only came back with a few pounds. But after a year, I was so blessed. I had a wife. Okay, then pregnant. And first way, on the way, we could buy our own first small flat. I bought a car, a very old car, and I continued to give my tenth. And I must say, after 5 years, I think I had 3 children, a house that was almost paid off, we had 2 cars, and I could see what God have done. And ever since, I'm just giving my tithe. Not always my tenth, but give something always. I try to give something. Good. What I want to talk to you about is worship today. As I came back from London, I started to, I lived with a friend, and I was so lucky, he was always away. So I was by myself, and God said to me, well, are you going to worship me, or what are you going to do? So every night, I started to practice my voice. And I was standing in the corner, like a corner there, and I was listening to my own voice, and as high as I could go, as low as I could go. That was so fascinating. And then I started to sing Abba songs, and then later I started to sing worship songs. And then I just started to cry, and I don't know what happened. So I continued, and we were involved in the Agape Church, and by some kind, my wife was involved in the service there, and she played the cello, and I also started to sing very poorly, and was very ashamed and whatever. After many years, they gave me a chance to lead, and I enjoyed that thoroughly. So I'm a worshipper. But I'm not only a worshipper. Everybody can be a worshipper. Everybody's supposed to worship. The Bible says you must worship God. And I want to understand, why must I worship God? What is the purpose? I want to see. This is water in a glass. Why is there water in a glass? What can I do with it? I don't want to hear about water in a glass. I want to see it. I want to taste it. And then what happened is God started to show me. I said, show me. I want to see you. I want to see what we are doing. And God showed me, if we worship God, something is coming down. We throw up worship, music, words, and then his presence comes down. And I said to the people there, and most of them looked at me like I was funny, because I was thinking in another way. And I said, if we sing this song like this, nothing happened. If you sing it like that, something will happen. And things started to happen. And I realized that if you focus on throwing up your words and focus on just doing worship, you don't have to throw up a word, maybe a thought, something will come down. Normally the presence of God. And the same with prophecy, the same with sowing. You give your tithe, you receive a lot of money. You give a car away, you might receive a big car someday. Same with houses, whatever. I don't think if you must give your child away, that's not a... Yeah. I thought about that one too, but not my child. I mean, why do people give their children away? But, okay. Good. Okay. Why do I worship? Why do we worship? To receive the presence of God. I'm just thinking about Lakeland that happened 2008. That those people had a meeting, they got together, and many people are criticizing that guy. Who's that guy with the tattoos, and what have we done? But they sang a song. I think on the fifth night, I might be incorrect, and they said the song was "Show Us Your Glory." So they just asked for the glory, and the glory came down. But I think after the fifth night, they were so focused that they meant what they said. There are preachers who are huge congregations who believe that you have, when you pray, you must see what you are praying for. You must see what you sing. You can't just sing millions of words and think something will happen. That I'll sing 5 words and exactly know what you're singing. Then something will happen. Then I shared with Carl earlier about a few things that I also want to just go through. I just quickly want to say about that. When we worship, we are sending up ideas. We are sending up what we have in our hearts. And in the presence of God's coming down. In the Old Testament, they didn't worship like that from the start. Cain and Abel, they both brought offers. So what they made was a fire, and then this fire had smoke. And the smoke, I said, God, what is this smoke? We don't make fires anymore. And God said to me, your worship is your fire. The worship is my fire, and my fire is sending smoke up. So I don't know if my smoke is going up straight, like Abel's, or like Cain's. So, but I said, God, I want to send up as much smoke as I can. And every time it happens, It's also glorious afterwards, especially when there's a lot of people together who really know how to break through, really go into the whole thing, and you see people delivered. You see a lot of things happen. So today we don't have make fires, but we've got our spirit to send up smoke. Okay, that's what's happening during worship. I just want to share two more things. Where do we worship? From the Old Testament, and the words we are using. The one is Daniel. In the Old Testament, you could see Daniel, he went into his own room, shut the door, and he prayed to God. He fell on his knees and prayed to God. He was quite sincere. You can't do that in a church. There's no doors to shut here. You can't just fall on the floor unless you are used to it. The first time I went on my knees on the church, even though I saw other people doing it, it was so hard to do. But after the 10th time, I can't understand why the next guy isn't doing the same thing. He's been there before me. And so, but that also brought the presence. So now you get more the presence come sometime, or something break, or something happen. Then I also have another thing I explained to Carl. Actually, in church you must be like in a telephone booth, where you can shut everything. You are standing here next to this person. You are not aware of him. You are only aware of the presence of God. And then you can start to worship. Because it's the same with serving. If you worship, the presence of God come. And when you start to serve, it's so much easier. Because you can say, okay, Holy Spirit, where to? And God just said to me, the biggest servant on earth today is the Holy Spirit. He's always there. You call him, you say, what can I do? Okay, please help me, help me. He helps you. So, when you're in the Spirit, you can always do, you can do anything in Christ. Because he's here. Amazing. Okay, I'm not going to say much more. The last one, Elijah. How could Elijah say words? He said, rain, you stop. It stopped rain for 2.5 years. Then afterwards he said, okay, rain, you can rain again. And it rained. Why did something obey him? Because I believe the same with God creating the earth. He saw something, as I understand, he saw it, he said it, it became. Now you are seeing the worship you are bringing to God, you are saying it, you are singing it, and it manifests. Something happened, something come back. It's huge, it's very spiritual, but I like to be spiritual. I can't stand something that's not spiritual in church. That's all I want to say, otherwise I might go too far and take it long. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sander. Thank you, Sander, for sharing it. I really believe that's what God wants to tell us this morning. As I said, I just had it in my heart to ask him, and I didn't even know if he's going to be in church this morning. I didn't phone him last night. And we just talked after, say, about 9 o'clock when the worship team was finished. And thank you, Sanders. I really trust that that's from God. And there's something that we all should learn from that. So we can actually need to talk a long time about this. But I believe that because God is aligning our hearts, you know, he wants to do something in our hearts and in the church. And as I said, I just felt Tuesday morning, I just felt so something so positive, something so has shifted in the prayers of people. And this is just another testimony for me about that. Now, I just want to go a little bit on about the storms in our life, and I hope you can see that our sound is also connected, serving and worshipping. And I believe we talked about the storms earlier, and I just want us to touch on that again, because I want you to go and pray about it, and that it will help you. I want to read from Psalm 23, verse 1. It's a very well-known piece of scripture. I think most of you know it. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, the shepherd will shepherd us through those baptisms of fire. I want to tell you this morning, none of us must have the expectation that difficult times will never come. Why? Because as Panganai, Dr. Panganai shared on Tuesday morning, you know, he just, while he was praying, he just saw that picture again. You know, God will always allow a difficult time for us to grow, to get stronger in Him. And also to purify us. Because many times, I think it was this morning or last night when I was preparing, some of you might still remember people my age and older, that song of Phil Collins, "It's Just Another Day in Paradise." Who of you know that song? A lot of you, okay. And you know, sometimes we have our days in paradise. Last week, Saturday, I was on the farm. I had a great time with my family, and I just relaxed. I just enjoyed it. And you know what? It's a good thing. We all need that. But every day isn't the day just in paradise, with nothing going wrong. Go and look at all the guys in Scripture. They had tough times, okay? But God is refining us in those tough times. He's really working with us. And the picture that we had Tuesday morning was just like when gold is refined. You know, it's heated a lot. And then all the impure things, it leaves in the process chemically and so forth. And then you are left with much purer gold. And I know many times we can feel the heat so visibly, or not visibly, you can feel it. You know, you know you're in that tough place. But guys, that scripture says, you know, this Psalm 23, it's always, we use it for comfort and so forth. But here in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That means you're going through that really difficult time, almost where the shadow of death are falling on you. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Okay? And that's where we talked about Jesus being in our boat a few months ago. Many times, it feels to you if Jesus didn't do anything. But as long as you know Jesus is in your boat, then you are okay. He has to be in the boat. I want to go and also read Psalm 25, verse 1 to 5. And I almost want to say this is a ABC for difficult times. And I just want to throw it out to you now. Maybe go and read it again. A Psalm of David. And this is about trusting, hoping, and praying. Trusting, hoping, and praying. "Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord." I think that's throwing something up, as Sanders had said. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." You know, many times we think, this is my path, this is what I'm going to do. And then you run into a brick wall, but it's because you haven't asked the Holy Spirit to help you in it. And verse 5, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Trusting, hoping, praying. You can really take that home, and I believe it's really a rich part of Scripture. And it says for me, you know, just don't go and do something. Trust God. Throw something up and something will go down. Go and worship God. Maybe go and close you in your inner room and forget a little bit about everything around you. And see God. Ask for Him and He will provide for you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because many times we know you can almost see that shadow. And you think this is it. But then God will come through for you. I also want to start off by finishing now. And I want to read you from Hebrews 13, verse 15 to 18. "Therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." You know, Sanders talked about, and I said we only speak to each other this morning, about sacrificing something. And in the Old Testament times, you used the example where you sacrifice something on an altar and the smoke going up. Now here it says, "Therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable to you. Pray for us, for we are confident that..." Okay, I'm just going to finish there. There's two more scriptures that I want you to read. But guys, can you see this morning? Maybe I should come back next week on this. But can you see what I mean by serving, worshiping, and tough times? Can you see what we're talking about here this morning? I want to read you also Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, to worship God. As you do that, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to worship God, if you stand with your hands in your pocket and you think about your wife or your job or your to-do list, then I believe that smoke isn't going to go up very high, because it's not coming from a solid place. And then the last scripture this morning, Ephesians 5 verse 18 to 20. Do not get drunk, you all know it, it's also a very well-known scripture. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. I'm not sure about that word. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to repeat a part of that. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So do it in your heart. Do it in your heart, in your room. You can play guitar, you can use an instrument, but you can do it just by yourself. You can do it when you're driving in your car, maybe when you're walking with the dog in the afternoon. Then you can also worship God. Just switch off and look at the visible attributes, as that scripture in Romans I think says, and worship God for everything you can see. All the things you know you've got. Because many times, as I said, when we get so focused on our own problems, our own challenges, you get almost deceived about how big it is. But you have that outward focus. When you serve, then things fall into perspective. You know, something bad happened to me last night, Friday night, at about 9 o'clock, I went and I gave food to my dogs, and I always pat them and talk to them and play with them. And then I went to sleep, and the next morning when I woke up, my little Vorzoinkie, she was really walking and dragging the lower part of her body. And those of you who know Vorzoinkie or sausage dogs, that's their sickness, their backs, they aren't very strong. And something must have happened throughout the night, but she was totally lame in her back. And it really broke my heart, because when we got the little dog, she was 7 weeks old and she had worms and he was very sick and totally underfed and really in a bad situation. We just took her in and loved her, and she grew and really became a loving dog that really added value to my life. And to see that dog like that, it was really bad, and I knew it's not going to get better throughout the day. And then we took it to the vet in the afternoon, and she did a few tests and put a needle, and there was no feeling in a lower part of her body. And then she said to me, well, there's not much we can do. And we had to put the dog out, and that was really sad. It really, I hate, burying things or people or even my dog. It really touched my heart. And, last night when I was there digging a hole, I was crying a lot, and it was just something between me and a dog, I guess. But we had a relationship in that sense. Yes, cowboys do cry. But the fact of the matter is, I was standing there and I was praying to God. And, I know dogs don't go to heaven, maybe an animal heaven or something. But I never saw something in scripture about that. But the important part, the thing why I'm sharing this with you, it just brings back perspective again to my life. Because I know this is a dog. You, each one of you sitting here, are so much more, of so much more value to God, each one of us. And I just ask God, may I never bury one of my family members. Take me first rather, And all of us know that the second death is so much worse than the first one, when you die without Christ. Okay? And I just want to end off just this little bit outward thing for all of us again. Maybe a dog dying isn't that bad, but guys, let's go out and pray and ask God to lead those people around us who doesn't know God to Jesus Christ. You don't want to, I just buried a little dog, 7 kilograms, but you don't want to go and bury something or someone special to God without knowing Christ, because that's the worst thing that can happen to anyone. Can we all stand please this morning? Worship team, you can come to. as the worship team are going to come up to the stage and they're just going to slowly start to play music and we're going to worship God now, I just want to lay it before you. I don't want to challenge you. I just want to bring it before you guys. That as Sandra said, that he shared it with me this morning, it really witnessed in my heart. Try to see yourself in a little telephone hooky. And just for a few minutes, as we're going to worship now, forget about the rest of the day, tomorrow morning, what happened yesterday. Maybe you also had a sad day yesterday. And just get into your little box, if I can put it in a positive way, and just seek God. Just worship God. Don't stand with your hands in your pocket this morning, if I can speak literally. Stand with your hands in the air and worship God from a place where you want to do it. As he said, it's something sometimes we must get a little bit of discipline in ourselves and teach ourselves to do it that way. So let's worship God now. And then I want to, as the team is going to start playing, I'm going to be in the front and I want to put it out there. Can I ask all of you just to close your eyes, just to think of, you know, just not the person next to you right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't have a personal revelation, a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have never came to a place where you have given your life to Christ and say, Lord, I submit to you. Please, Lord, I want to be born again. I want to be a new person. If you haven't come to that place of just bowing your knee before our Lord Jesus Christ, is there anyone like that? While all eyes are closed this morning, if there's anyone like that, can you just please raise your hand? I just want to see that. If there's anyone like that this morning, it's not about the people next to you, it's something between you and God this morning. Anyone like that? Thank you. So, if you, I know the Holy Spirit would have been speaking to you this morning and touching your heart. As all eyes are still closed, as we're starting to worship, I want you guys to respond to that call of Jesus, not to me, to Jesus Christ, and just come to the front. I would like to pray with you this morning. And then secondly, it said we must sing in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs to each other. Guys, if you don't have a song in your heart, the difficult times are going to be so much worse. And I want to ask you this morning, if you aren't sure if you have been filled by the Holy Spirit, you probably haven't been filled by the Holy Spirit. We should ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I would love to pray with you this morning to just receive the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay? Is there anyone like that? While all eyes are closed this morning, if you're not sure if you have received the Holy Spirit, I also want you to just raise your hand, something between you and God, and I want you to come to the front, and I would like to pray with you this morning, because you're not going to make it without the Holy Spirit in life. And then thirdly and lastly, if you battle in your life to serve, maybe you've been hurt, if you battle to serve other people, or if you battle to serve God, or maybe even you battle to worship God, if you just can't get to a place of focusing your heart and your spirit and your mind to God and just switching off, if you battle with that this morning, I also want to invite you. I just want to lay hands on you this morning and pray with you for a breakthrough that you can focus on that. Amen. So those of you who feel that God has been speaking to you this morning, as we're going to start worshiping now, please come to the front. Me and other people would like to pray with you this morning. And now, let's worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen.